Our text this morning will come from Matthew chapter 4, and this is the call of the first disciples. Be reading verses 12 to 23. Now, when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee, the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, they saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. That is the word of God for us this morning. Follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. Some translations would render that, I will make you fish for people, but I like the phraseology, they're fishermen, and he makes them to become fishers of men, and so I like that phraseology. And it's such a familiar, catchy phrase from the Gospels, I'll make you to be fishers of men. But what is there beyond the phrase, behind the phrase? What's going on? What's happening here? What does it mean? What does it have to do with our calling as disciples, as Christians right now? What is beyond, what is behind the catchy phrase? So where is this? So Jesus' ministry, we're told here, begins in Galilee. And if you're remotely familiar with the geography of the Holy Land, Galilee is up in the northern area. It's the northern part of Judea. It's above Judea. It's some 60, 70 miles north of Jerusalem. It's Galilee of the Gentiles. It is far removed from the centers of power, far removed from the temple in Jerusalem. It was known as Galilee of the Gentiles because there were a lot of Gentiles there. Galilee, as we would put it, is the wrong side of the tracks. And as a common phrase, there's the right side of the tracks, and then the other side of the railroad tracks is a bad part of town. Well, Galilee is the wrong side of the tracks, the other side of the tracks. If you're talking about contemporary America, Galilee is, and the people he's talking to, they are shipyard workers, or they're farmers, or they're blue-collar factory workers. They're very ordinary people. And like I said, this is far removed from the center of Jewish life. Of course, there are synagogues there, but they are far removed from Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a difficult journey away from them. They're in the hinterlands, if you will. And so what is going on? Jesus begins his ministry up there. Jesus begins his ministry in Galilee. If you follow Matthew and Luke, Matthew and Mark, I mean. If you follow Matthew and Mark, after the resurrection, Jesus will meet his disciples up in Galilee. So Jesus' ministry begins here in Galilee, near the bank of the Jordan, near the bank of the Sea of Galilee, outside of the town of Capernaum. He's walking along and he sees some fishermen. First, Andrew and his brother Simon, whom we know better as Peter, and then next, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. And what does he say? He says, follow me. Simply follow me. Perhaps the most important command, really the most important invitation that Jesus gives is follow me. Follow me, Jesus says. And this simple command is met by equally simple obedience. They drop their nets and they follow Jesus. Andrew and Peter drop their nets and they follow Jesus. We're told that James and John drop their nets. They leave Zebedee in the boat and they follow Jesus. In the Old Testament, this is similar to the call of Elisha. The great prophet Elijah calls Elisha to be his understudy, if you will. Elisha is plowing a field when Elijah calls him, and Elisha responds by sacrificing the oxen that he's plowing with. So literally, there is no going back. If Elisha sacrifices the oxen, there is no going back for him. Later on in the Gospels, Jesus will say that no one who takes his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom, worthy of the kingdom. And that's what's going on here. The call is to follow. Simply to follow without reservation. That's what the disciples do. Now, the disciples are not perfect. And the Gospels aren't hesitant to point out the disciples' warts. We see the disciples' warts and all, flaws and all. They're not perfect at all. And they are sometimes bumbling and stumbling, but they follow. And there is a faithfulness in their following. And as they follow Jesus, Jesus tells them that they will fish for people, as some translations put it, as mine renders it, they will become fishers of men. And this isn't so much a command, but really an assumed statement, an assumption. It is, follow me. Follow me. An invitation by Jesus, simply follow me. And it is assumed after they follow him that they will carry out this calling to become fishers of men. And the call is in terms that they would understand. So if Jesus were speaking to carpenters, he might say, follow me and you'll be builders of the kingdom. Or if he's talking to farmers, follow me and you'll be planting kingdom seed. Or if he were speaking to, use a modern day occupation, if he's speaking to real estate agents, follow me and you'll be selling rooms in my Father's house. Follow me, Jesus says, follow me. And this calling is for real life. The calling is for real life, everyday life. It is not the extraordinary and the grand. It is simply follow me in the everyday life. And these are ordinary, they're ordinary guys. They're ordinary guys, calloused hands, I imagine pretty weather-beaten faces, and they probably perpetually smelled of dead fish. But they followed Jesus, and they were earnest about it, warts and all. And there's this. There's not a backup plan. Now, many of y'all know that I love to fish. I love to fish. Put me at Cape Point in Buxton with my rod in hand and the surf coming up around my knees, and I'm a happy camper. I can stand there and watch the gulls and watch the waves crash in the shoals, and oh, I'm happy as a pig in slop. I love that. There are a lot of pictures taken of me fishing at Cape Point in Buxton. There aren't as many pictures of me with a nice fish that I've caught, but that's okay. That's okay. Because at the end of the day, it's not crucial that I catch a fish. I like to, but it's not that important. If I don't catch fish, I can find other ways to get fish. I can go to Avon Seafood and pick out whatever fish I want. And I can still get fried fish and hush puppies, and it'll be really fresh. In the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter whether I catch fish when I'm at Cape Point in Buxton or not. What about if you're fishing for people? What about if you're fishing for people? It does matter. Because there is not a plan B. There is not a plan B. In our calling as disciples, there is no one else to do it. If we as followers of Christ don't fish for people, as we as followers of Christ are not fishers of men and of women, then who else will do it? The church is the only entity that God has created to save the world. The church is the only entity that God has created to bring people to redemption. If we do not do it as followers of Christ, as Christians, then it will not get done. God sent His Holy Spirit on Peter and James and John and Matthew and Thomas and all the rest of them at Pentecost. And they turned the world upside down. And through the years, that same Holy Spirit has fallen on unbelievers. And the same Lord has called them, follow me and I make you fishers of men. Follow me and you will fish for people. And the same Spirit has fallen on us. We're 2,000 years removed, but the same Spirit has fallen on us. And Jesus says, follow me. And there is no plan B. My friends, there is no plan B. We, the church, are God's instrument for bringing people to Christ, bringing people to redemption. There is no plan B. It is us. And Jesus says, follow me. Jesus says, follow me. Now, let us resolve now this day to follow Christ.